So, you have decided to buy cloud. Good decision. Cloud provides a lot of benefits, such as flexibility, evergreen versions, and cost effectiveness.
If you look around, surf the internet, or visit an expo, you'll find that there are so many options for a cloud provider.
Each and every one of them claims to be the best in some metric, and they are the one you should choose. However, how can you evaluate them?
You might be wondering, which providers should I trust? What should I ask them? What should I keep in mind when purchasing cloud?
In this episode, we give you the questions and the checklist and the ammunition to buy cloud in an intelligent way. Hi, and welcome to Cloud Gossip. I am Annie, and I'm a cloud marketing expert and a startup coach.
Hi, my name is Teemu. I'm a cloud developer, DevOps trainer, and an international speaker.
And I'm Carl, and I'm a cloud and security consultant for enterprise customers. And I also moonlight as an international speaker.
Today on the show, How to Buy Cloud, we will warn you about what pitfalls to avoid and give you a handy list to help you choose your cloud provider. Great to have you with us.
This podcast is part of a four-part series, which you can find either on Apple Podcasts, Android Podcast apps, or on our website, cloudgossip.net.
To get to the bottom of purchasing cloud, we will first have to discuss and figure out what cloud actually is.
Usually, the cloud is categorized into three different sections. They are software as a service, also known as SaaS, platform as a service, known as PaaS, and infrastructure as a service, IaaS.
See the pattern? It's no longer about old cool servers. Now it's all about services. The choice is between level of control and responsibilities.
This means that in infrastructure as a service, we get the most control. But we have more responsibilities than in the platform as a service or software as a service models.
A handy way of thinking about this is that with software as a service, you buy ready-made solutions, like a stuffed bear or a Star Wars figure.
With a platform as a service, you build the figure from building blocks, like you would build up a Lego set from a given blocks.
And with infrastructure as a service, you literally build the blocks yourself, for example, by 3D printing them and then building a toy from the blocks that you build yourself.
Understanding the differences in cloud areas is particularly important to avoid cloud washing. That happens when a company is selling traditional data center capacity as a cloud, meaning that you don't get the benefits of the cloud. So you've got to be careful.
Most companies who are in the cloud use software as a service. For example, Google Gmail for email service in the cloud, Dropbox for storing your files in the cloud, or Microsoft 365 for emails and file storage in the cloud.
You can learn more about cloud service models in the episode, What is the Cloud? For this episode, we are ready to get to the juicy stuff.
We are going to highlight some of the biggest obstacles companies might face. They are cloud washing, contract length, and migration readiness.
We will begin by looking into the first notorious obstacle, cloud washing, through an example. In this case, a company was facing the end of their email software lifecycle. They needed to upgrade their email software.
Last time they upgraded, it took them 6 months and multiple failures to get the new system running. And on top of that, their best email administrator had since retired.
They wanted to move into an evergreen system, meaning that the email service is always upgraded to the latest version.
They chose to go to a traditional service provider who promised them all the power of the cloud without the downsides.
However, it turned out that the email service provided was actually the same version that the company was trying to move away from.
And the service provider had a larger customer using the same email service. The larger customer had their own business reasons to upgrade in a slower pace.
So the company got stuck with the old version until the other customer allows the service provider to upgrade the email service. Our unfortunate company is a victim of cloud washing. They had paid for a cloud service but got traditional IT solutions.
Let's look into the second obstacle, contract length. A company might have an existing contract that lasts for multiple years.
During that time, even if they stopped using the servers, they would still pay the same amount. This means that even if they would have migrated their software to the cloud, they wouldn't achieve the cost effectiveness of the cloud.
They would essentially pay for two contracts at the same time.
And then to the third obstacle, which is migration readiness.
Migration means the movement of software from one server to another.
This is a huge change, so it requires careful planning in order to keep daily business running.
The company needs to ensure their IT professionals have the right skill set to perform the migration. And once the migration is completed, the end users need to be trained in order to be productive in the new environment.
So now that we know what pitfalls to avoid, we can move on towards the good tips that you can use. Let's list some best practices.
These are the things you should ask from potential vendors and companies you're considering. We have four questions for you to ask and take away as a checklist for your cloud negotiations.
Number one, how do I get my data out if I leave to another provider?
This question is important to ask, because in the worst case, the migration could only be done with the help of the provider or with their permission.
That would basically mean that whenever you would like to leave their cloud service, you would need to go to them and ask them to help move your data out of their system.
This would be similar to getting a free entry to a nightclub, but having to pay to get out.
It will be in the best interest of the old cloud provider to make the migration as slow or as expensive as possible, essentially keeping your data as a hostage.
Most likely, they would always blame the new provider for any obstacles occurred.
In this case, the specific questions to ask would be, how long does it take to export my data? At what cost? Who can perform the work?
Then the second question to ask would be this. Do you match your prices with competitors?
This is a very important topic. Some hyperscale cloud providers, Amazon Web Services, Microsoft Azure, and Google Cloud, have publicly promised to match each other's pricing in comparable services.
For example, if one of the three cloud providers reduces pricing in virtual machines, the others will match those new prices.
This applies to the most cost-sensitive services, like storage or virtual machines. Having these price drops and active price competition is really beneficial for cloud users.
Users may get several price drops per year, meaning that the operating cost would get lower over time.
This is really different from the traditional world, where you would negotiate a fixed cost upfront, preferably even for several years, in order to keep the prices from rising.
So concrete questions to ask would be, do you match your prices with competitors? Which competitors? How fast do you match those prices? How fast does it show up on my bill? Or is it only for a new customer? Devil is in the details here.
The third question is related to something called pay-as-you-go billing.
In true cloud model, you pay retroactively based on what you actually use. For example, if you only use a certain virtual machine for 17 minutes, you would only get billed for 17 minutes.
This is similar to how your mobile carrier charges you. If you call for 17 minutes, you get billed for 17 minutes.
In traditional hosting, you would pay upfront based on estimated usage, even though you wouldn't actually use that amount.
That would be similar to you paying your mobile carrier for a fixed package of, let's say, 100 minutes per month. You would still pay for those 100 minutes, whether you called 1 or 100 minutes. So you would end up paying more than what you use.
So the precise question to ask would be, do you provide pay-as-you-go billing? As with the price matches, devil lies in the details.
The fourth and the last on our quick best practices tip list is, how fast can you provide me double the resources that I currently use?
This question is related to scale, speed, and technical capabilities of the cloud provider. In a hyperscale cloud world, there is virtually limitless capacity available. You can go from 0 to 100 virtual machines in just a blink of an eye.
In the cloud, creation of new services should be self-service and automated. You shouldn't have to call someone or go to a meeting with the sales representative to get more resources.
Resource providing lead time is a good example where cloud washing might take a place. A traditional hosting provider can sometimes provide a self-service tool for requesting the resources.
But it wouldn't be automatic creation, but rather a technician getting an email or a ticket in their task system and then fulfilling it.
In the on-premise world, in some cases, only the most used service would be available for self-service creation.
Resource creation should be self-service or automated and should only take minutes instead of hours or days.
So we compiled this list to help you with your discussions with cloud service providers. This list will help you navigate obstacles related to cloud purchasing.
Always keep your specific needs in mind and tweak or tailor the list according to them. Once you keep all of these in mind, you will hopefully have a solution that matches your needs.
Hey, thanks for listening. You can find our show notes at cloudgossip.net. You can listen to us at Apple Podcast or your favorite podcast app. Please subscribe and rate us. This podcast was produced by Otto Ahoniemi. Thank you for listening to the first season of Cloud Gossip. It has been great to have you with us. To help us improve, you can give us feedback at cloudgossip.net. Stay tuned for the second season, where we'll go deeper into the tech and interview top industry experts.